My title today is called Safe and Secure. And we do sing that song, Safe and Secure from All Alarm. We got to realize what we have. We have such a wonderful salvation. We have such a wonderful Savior. It's all about Jesus. Oh, it is, it is. And salvation is such a wonderful thing. We need to be reminded from time to time what a wonderful gift this is, that we have access to the throne of grace, that we can come boldly in and ask for forgiveness and ask for healing and ask for whatever it is that we have need of. Ask according to the will of God and He will grant it to you. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. So says Psalm 3 and verse 8. And here is another scripture, Psalm 106, verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. You're saved for a purpose. He saved you because he wants the best for you. You know how short we fall. How short we fall from the glory of God. He has so much that he wants to give, that he has done, that he is doing, that he wants to do in your life, but are you letting him do it? He has a full and free salvation that's available to anybody that asks. If they would only believe and repent of their sins and come to him in contrition and ask him to forgive them, he will do it. He keeps his word. We are so fickle. So many things command our attention. So many things we distract us from him. But he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. For my burden is light. My yoke is easy. He wants to give you a full and free salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Think about this over and over again. Meditate with me. Think about what we have and how so thankful we should be that he has given us the opportunity to be saved. And it's running out. Time is running out. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know when he's going to come or when we're going to die. None of us. And so what must we be doing? What must we go about to do but to enjoy him and to share him and to love one another and tell people about this glorious salvation that we have? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. But a lot of people don't know they're lost. They don't want to know they're lost. They just want to be left alone. They don't want you bothering them. They don't want you to tell them the truth. They want to live in whatever little fantasy world they're in. They're contented with their video games and their Wi-Fi and their American Idol and everything that they want to do and all the things that they want to possess and own and have and just get it. But they don't want to think about eternity. They don't want to think about the peril they're in, the fact that they're dying of a fatal disease called sin. That we have a generational curse that has come down all the way from Adam that has made us sick, and we're dying from it. It's called sin, and we need a cure. We have an incurable disease, but thank God Jesus has cured that disease. The remedy is there. It's available to us. It's called salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we come to him and receive him as our Lord and Savior, he will forgive us. He will resurrect us from the dead, and he will take us to heaven to be with him, to live forever in perfection. Now, how about that for something? And it's so simple a child can understand what I'm talking about. It's not hard. It's easy to understand. But so many people want to make it so difficult. But salvation is a wonderful thing. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. That's Romans 1 and 22, if you want to write those down. If you're writing down the scriptures, I got a pile of them for you. Because it's only the word of God that saves us. It's by It's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I declare these words unto you, take them to heart, apply them to yourself, and be saved. That's what it's all about. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now that is Romans 3, verses 24 and 25. Read that one over a couple of times and take it to heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's Romans 10 and 9. How do you like that one? Don't we need to hear these scriptures? Don't we need to have them rehearsed over and over? Don't we need to bring these to mind from time to time? Because if we don't think about things, we can get pretty depressed, can't we? Things can get pretty low for us. This week in my work, it was supposed to be a record-breaking week. I did the worst week that I ever did in the company. And everybody else is breaking records. But does that depress me? No, because I have hope beyond this life. I'm not worried about my materialism down here. It's going to take care of itself. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't worry about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what Jesus said, and I know who's the future, and I know what lies ahead. And that's so good. You just keep on with that one. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Isn't that wonderful stuff? But God, who is rich in mercy, rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And that's Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. And here's one, you can write this one down. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. We need to hear these things, folks. We need to be reminded from time to time that there is a heaven to gain and a lake of fire to shun. I'm being very careful in my language. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. For who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. We have a holy calling, folks, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that a wonderful one? That's 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Believe this, that God had always had our best in mind. He knew what we were made of. He knew the choices that we had, and he knew the choices that we would make. And some of us would go this way and some of us would go that way. But he said, I'm going to bring it all together, make it possible for these people that I love so much. Even before he made us, before the foundation of the world, before the world began, he already knew what he was doing. He didn't stab in the dark and just say, well, I'm going to play a game of chance. God did not play a game of chance with you. You know, you're not just down here randomly. He has a purpose for each one of our lives, and that is to serve him and love him forever. But you have a choice not to. And when thinking about all that there is to lose and all that there is to gain, why would you choose the world when Jesus has provided such a wonderful, full and free salvation? It just boggles my mind why anybody would choose otherwise. Jesus has provided a wonderful salvation. You know, when you save something, what do you do with it? You put it away somewhere where it's not going to get hurt or broke. Or you put it in the fridge if it's frozen, you don't want it to spoil. You save something because it's valuable to you. So you put it in a safe place. You guard it. You take care of it. You make sure. What do you think God has done providing his full and free salvation? Did he not do a thorough job of this? When he was on the cross in his death agonies and he says, it is finished. Was he finished? No. What was finished? Our salvation was finally available. He had made it available, and the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and that thing was about this thick, and it ripped of its own volition. We know that the hand of God that wrote many, many tikkel upharsin was the same hand that took that veil and pulled it apart and said, come on in, all ye, come on, come on, come unto me. Come and be saved. No more lambs, no more goats, no more cows and bulls or anything like that. No more blood has to be shed. It's done. It's finished. Isn't that wonderful? And it says, and here's what Jesus said to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. That's a promise you can take to the bank. When Jesus promises you something, you can believe it. I can tell you all kinds of stuff. Don't believe me. Just check it out in the world, in the Word. But Jesus says something, you can bank on it. He says, if you believe on him, you have everlasting life. Now, you may die, but you'll be raised back to life and live forever after. Happily ever after. And that's no fairy tale. That's the real thing. And you, he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians 2:1. I'm glad to see the pens are working there. That is good. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Do you feel his hand on you? Do you feel him working with you, molding you, sometimes cutting you a little bit? Sometimes it hurts. Ooh, but that's what he's doing to get you in shape for heaven. And it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are foreordained to walk in good works. The only way we can do that is to have that abiding Christ to transform us from the inside out. Talking about reformation, in a Sabbath school lesson this morning, that's what it's all about. Let Jesus live his life through you, in you, by you, so that for you to live will be Christ, and to die would be gain, as Paul says. Now that's the salvation part. Now, isn't that wonderful? Safe. But we are also secure. Now listen to this. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That was our scripture, Jude 1:24-25. And there's only one chapter in Jude. It's just Jude 24 and 25. Who are kept, we are kept, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. This is security, folks, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're waiting for Jesus to come. That is 1 Peter 1:5. Now listen, there's a lot of things that we've got to face. We are not there yet. Someone asked me, you know, how do you know you're saved? And what is salvation? What is it? Well, I said, well, I was saved. Jesus saved me. I am being saved. And I am now saved. And I will be saved when he appears. And when he appears, we will be glorified and we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what is salvation? It is past, present, future. And God speaks of salvation as prophetically, and when he talks prophetically, it's as if it's already taken place. So it's okay if you know your God, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it's okay to say that you are saved. Because prophetically you are. And if you walk by faith and you walk up that passageway to glory, you keep on the straight path and the narrow path, you will be saved. Is it based on your works? No. It's based on your faith in what he has done, and he will see you through. You can take that to the bank. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We have security in Him, not in what we do. And our security is only secure if we walk hand in hand with Christ. This is not automatic salvation. This is not you're getting saved against your will. Because nobody can pluck you out of His hand if you don't want to be plucked out of His hand. But He'll let you go freely if you so desire. But who'd want to leave Him after coming to Him? Oh, I love to feel His touch. One of my favorite pictures is the little boy in coveralls laying down in a great big hand. And that's me, that little boy in the Master's hand. I don't want to leave. There's too much to gain and so little to lose. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. We are secure. He supplies all our needs according to His riches. We don't worry about anything. Worry is such a waste of time. Isaiah 40:26 says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. God is not a failure. I can fail, you can fail, but God fails not. He didn't make any mistakes. Somebody say, how come there's a devil? Because the devil wanted to be the devil. That's what he wanted to be. He was given the choice, and there he is. We are all given a choice. Do we want to follow that example, or do we want to follow the example of Christ? I want to follow Him. I want to live for Him. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. Do you feel secure yet? Let me tell you some more. Maybe you need a little bit more so that you'll understand how secure you are in Christ as long as you abide in the vine. It says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:29. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? That's 1 Peter 3:13. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now even poor old David knew that way back there, before he even knew exactly who Jesus would be. All he knew was that one day there would be somebody like in his family, come from his family, that would save the whole world. And he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Now, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. That is Psalm 42:5. There are so many things that discourage us. There's so many things that beset us. Sickness, financial difficulties, family turmoils, death. And all these things are the lot of mankind. And so what is our hope? Well, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, Marcus, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Matthew 7:7-11. Our security is not in anything we may say or do, or how we might earn this ourselves. It just doesn't work that way. And so do you believe you're secure today? How many of you are ready? I'm not asking for anybody to raise their hand, but I want you to ask yourself, are you ready? Are you saved? Do you have that security, that knowledge in the innermost being of your heart? Do you know right now that if you should die or Jesus should come, that you would go straight? You know? Straight. Now, if you die, when you're resurrected, you'll either go straight or you go somewhere else. Where are you going? What path are you on? Are you ready? Oh, yes. I'm going to end this with one more scripture. Get ready to write. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16, and then I'm finished. Listen to this. This is why we are secure in Him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. I will say of the Lord, yes, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Are you following along with me? Are you reciting with me? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon thee, upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, 1 to 16. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as Your Spirit speaks to hearts, that if there is anyone with any doubt whatsoever that they are saved and have any insecurity, that they would now get that changed, that they would now come to You, and that they would now ask for Your forgiveness, for Your salvation, for Your blood to wash away their sins, and for the blessed assurance by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that this would be so at this time. Father, I pray this, and I believe this with all my heart, in Jesus' name, amen.